And today is the third part of our series, The Spirit of Christmas. Of course, we started a few weeks ago with that the Holy Spirit is the true spirit of Christmas. And we're going to jump into that and continue. You're welcome to turn to Matthew chapter 2. That's where we'll be in a little bit. We're not going to read there quite yet, but that's where we'll get to. And one of the most asked questions as a pastor or a leader that we get is, what do I do? You ever ask that question? What do I do? I don't know what to do. And that has many variations. It could be, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? Do I go this direction? Do I switch jobs? Do I move? What do I do with my life? Do I buy this? Do I sell that? I think we all have those questions sometimes. And it's usually out of a good desire to do what the Lord wants, amen? But sometimes in looking for an answer, I've been guilty of this. We often want God to be like a loving dictator. I don't know if you've ever had that moment. I'll give you a picture into my life. Sometimes my prayer life is just looking up to God and just, can you just tell me what you want? You ever been there? Can you just tell me what to do? I'm trying, and I just want to know. You know, God is a loving Father. We know that. And He is saying in those moments that I know you, and I can see what is best for you and what is most good for you. This is what I want you to do, and sometimes this is just what I want you to choose. But I want you to choose. Part of the Holy Spirit is that He is a spirit of wisdom. Amen? He is a spirit of wisdom. And that is where we're looking to specifically this morning. The Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom. In Joshua chapter 34, verse 9, says this, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses laid his hands on him." Also in the book of Proverbs, it talks about wisdom as a person. Most scholars believe this is referring to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, 17 through 19 says this, "Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power." Paul is answering the question of the Ephesians that they haven't even asked yet. It's a question that they will ask, just like we ask, what do I do? And he answers it with this: you should get to know the Lord better. It's funny because sometimes, I'll admit, I hate that answer. Yes, Lord. But it's the hope of His calling. That's why you were called. It's the riches of His inheritance that we are a part of. It's His purpose for us. It's the exceeding greatness of His power toward us and for us. It is the Holy Spirit that won't just lead us into a direction. He's leading us closer to Jesus, to be like Jesus, to make decisions like Jesus, to have a heart like Jesus. And we see that in our story today of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The wise men are being led to Jesus. And with that, let's pray before we read that portion of Scripture. Lord, I recognize that beyond anything, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit here today. God, that although we have a foundation of study and in your word, most of all, we need your spirit to open our eyes and open our ears to your word being preached. Lord, I ask that you would anoint us to speak and to receive what your spirit, oh God, wants us to hear this morning. As we surrender our hearts and our minds to you, we ask all this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. feels a little somber this morning. I'm gonna just release you guys again. I like to do that. You can shout out a hallelujah. It's not Easter, but every day Jesus is risen. Amen. Let's read the word, Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born of the King of Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Church, the Holy Spirit leads, and being able to follow him is a part of wisdom. Is a part of wisdom. Sometimes that is being able to speak what he says. Sometimes it's being able to not speak at times. I was reminded of that proverb that says, even the fool seems wise when he doesn't speak. The Holy Spirit will make you look wise. That's Proverbs 17:28. But the Holy Spirit will lead us to do and not do things, and this appears as wisdom. He will lead you to where you need to be, and that's not saying that you need to pray about every single place you go. I bet no one here prays if they need to go to the kitchen and get that midnight snack. And thankfully, we don't pray if we need to go to work. That one was a little more silent. But at any given moment, the Holy Spirit will tell you something. Are you listening? In our case today, the Holy Spirit is orchestrating men from another nation to come and celebrate the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah. But what else is going on in the lives of these men? It says they were wise men. That means that they were studied people. They were most likely astrologers, that they studied the heavens. They watched the stars and how they moved. And God created all of these things to do so. We can't tell what else they believed from what the little the scripture says about them. But scholars think that they could have been Jews that were still there from captivity, or they at least had a Jewish influence. They had enough knowledge to know that when this star appeared, that it was supernatural and it was prophesied about. And that's really quickly a different thought than some people today take, like with zodiac signs and things like that. It's very different. The Bible actually preaches against that in Deuteronomy and Jeremiah both. Because watch this, we don't trust in or worship constellations or signs. Our future is found, directed, and placed in the Lord. And these men knew enough of the Old Testament to know about the prophesied Messiah. But watch this. Notice no one in Israel saw the sign. And I believe that it's easy, like Israel, to go about life, to go to church, without expecting to hear from God, without watching for a move of God. Because some people don't actually want that. We're not looking for that. And these men were looking for a sign. And we don't even know how their relationship with God was. But what faith they had to go on at least a 900-mile, several-month journey because they saw a star. That leads me to ask myself and you the question, what are we looking for? And what are we willing to follow? Would you follow the Lord if it meant doing something that was uncomfortable? Setting out in a direction that you are not sure of the end result. I'll tell you, as someone who likes to plan, I don't like to not know the end. Yeah? When we're looking for a movie or something to watch, my wife and I'll ask her, does this have a happy ending? I don't like sad endings. But imagine their friends and relatives or people along the way on this trek, and maybe they're asking, you know, so where are you guys headed? Well, we found this star, and we're going that way. It reminds me, if we were going somewhere, and, you know, you stop at the gas station, and, like, this hippie walks out, and where are you going? He's like, I saw this star, and I'm going that way. I'm just following it. Probably think that person's crazy. Like, but I like to think that way because you realize that these men had to, at times, probably look foolish. They had to deal with some ridicule. Are we okay with looking foolish and some ridicule when we're being obedient to the Holy Spirit? And that's not being flaky and weird about stuff. That is, I have undeniably heard from the Lord, and this is what I'm doing. I'm going to give you a bad example of this. And I say bad because if I had listened to the Lord better, it would have just been easier. I know before I moved back to Alaska, I grew up in Southeast Alaska. I went to school down south for a while, and I was working after college as a lead valet at a big hotel in Dallas. And I remember I just felt like the Lord was maybe calling me back to Alaska. And I didn't like the thought of that because in my mind, I would probably then never get married and just my life would be just not where I wanted it to be and all of these things. And so I was wrestling with what do I do? Is this God? And at the same time, someone offered me a new job that, you know, made more money. And I remember just wondering, God, what do I do? What do I do? And I feel like most of us have been there before. And so I, in my lack of faith that the Holy Spirit was speaking, I put out a fleece. You ever done that? Yeah. Well, you know, I was a valet at the time, and I said, Lord, you know what? I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to take this other job unless you give me, like, I don't know. And I shot out a random number of tips, like three times the amount I probably would have got that day to the penny. I was like, if you give me this exact amount, then I will know it's the Lord. We went through our shift and everything. And at the end, we split up the tips, like, because you had to split it with the guys. And I counted it up. And I had written down that number, so I knew the exact number to the penny. And I counted what I had, and to the penny, It was what I had asked for. And that is a miracle in God's grace. But I'll say this. I wish I had the faith to not even ask for a fleece. I wish I had the faith to do that. But little did I know, God had in store for me things that I would never have guessed. Getting to pastor this church, getting to do all kinds of things, getting to marry my incredibly wonderful, beautiful wife. I don't know if any of that would have taken place if I didn't follow the Holy Spirit's lead. And part of the story is God is so gracious in my stupidity. But are you looking and listening for what he is doing? These men got to partner with one of the most miraculous moments in history. The Holy Spirit will lead you to miraculous moments, and even more so, he will use you in them. The Holy Spirit used these men to emphasize Jesus' kingly identity. Your life is meant to emphasize Jesus' kingly identity. The Holy Spirit used them to affirm the origin of Messiah in Bethlehem. Your life affirms the truth of Jesus to the world. And the Holy Spirit used them to emphasize the Gentile faith and worship as well. Your life spreads the good news of Jesus to the entire world. The Holy Spirit will lead you to all these things as he leads you to the places you should be. But watch this, we often get this backwards. God doesn't just lead you to places and things, he leads you to purposes. It leads you to purpose. At the end of verse 2, it says they came to worship him. The word there means to prostrate oneself before. It describes the attitude and posture of people before Jesus. I say it like that because it's not just the wise men before Jesus, it's people in general before Jesus. I like to remind myself that the focal point of where the Holy Spirit leads me isn't just to give gifts, even though those are great things and the Lord asks us of those, but it's to worship him. And the gifts are just a part of that. What we give is just a part of worshiping. That word is used in the context of a servant and master, humbly putting our lives before the King. And I think that's where we need to start, and that's where we need to hope we finish. See, we're on this path, and we're listening, and we're watching where the Lord might lead us. And on that path, we're meant to meet with the King. We're meant to meet with the King. We learn how to worship him as we bring what we can to him. As I was writing, it reminded me of a song from the 90s Christian music, so a little bit obscure. But it just says this, I'll give and I'll hold nothing back. I'll give and I'll hold nothing back. And that song often pops in my mind, not just because it's catchy, but usually in moments where I'm supposed to give. Like not just monetarily, but give of my time or spend more time in the presence of the Lord. I'll give and I'll hold nothing back. And I know that that is the Holy Spirit at work, bringing that to my mind to remind me of the person I am meant to be. That I will give and I will hold nothing back. Church, are we more concerned about where we're headed than why we are headed there? Than why we are headed there. They were supposed to follow a star to the place of a king, but really they were on their way to worship a king. That was the purpose. The place is not the purpose. The place is not the purpose. Today I believe that God wants to shift some focuses from place to purpose. As we commit to following the Holy Spirit's leading. So the Holy Spirit leads, and then the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows, and this is possibly my favorite point in here, but here's a few scriptures. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This prophecy was written about 600 years before Jesus. Numbers 24, 17, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will arise out of Israel, 1,400 years before Jesus. Matthew 2, 18 is quoting from Jeremiah when it says, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamenting, weeping, a great mourning, reaping, a Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they were no more, 600 years before Jesus. Micah 5, 2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands in Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting, 700 years before Jesus. All these scriptures are about Jesus, where he was born, what he would do. And we could spend all day on all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, and the ones that he didn't have control over, like where he was born. But this reminds us that if he can plan hundreds of years in advance for the future, then he can be okay with what happens tomorrow. You can trust that he knows. He knows you. He knows the future. I teased you last week that those questions of why God that we all have. Why did we have to wait so long to do this and do that? And sometimes I'll at least admit that God has to work our own stubbornness or my own stupidity out of things. But God factors that in. He factors who you are in. He will still accomplish his own will, his own desires, while working through your free will. He will accomplish it. He is wise enough, he is sovereign enough to do so. And with that, we can trust that if we think we have messed up God's plan at any point, in a moment, you can get back on track. In a moment. Now, that's not to say we could have, should have done things differently. Done more things for the Lord. Stayed on track better. So we wouldn't have to reap the repercussions of our mistakes. But he will put you back on the path today. It doesn't matter as much where you start. It matters most where you finish. And in our main passage today of Matthew 2, verse 7, the wise men go to King Herod, and they tell him their plans to find the true king. And I want you to picture that, because they did not know, they could not have known, that King Herod was a paranoid, murdering narcissist. Politician. Not all of them, though. But this man murdered his wife because her family ties worried him that someone might want an uprising. Then he murdered his two favorite sons because he was worried that they might overthrow him. One of his sons he murdered 5 days before his own death. On his deathbed, he was worried that he would be stripped of the kingship. Looking back, the wise men afterwards probably thought, that was a bad idea. We should probably not have talked to that guy. But watch this. It fulfilled a prophecy. In Bethlehem, it fulfilled a prophecy that in Jeremiah that we've already read. And in verse 12, the wise men are divinely warned in a dream not to go back. Go home another way. Church, God knows and even works things out of our mistakes. I find comfort in that. That if I mess up, God can still work it out, it says, for good. But we can't look back. You can't get stuck looking back. God will direct you to where you need to be, even when you feel like you made a mistake. God is big enough to do that if we are following him. And that sometimes is in tears, sometimes in lessons, sometimes in trials. But God will never stop working. He won't fail in getting to you to where you are supposed to be if you are following him. Remember, God knows who you are. He knows who you are. He knows your tendencies. He knows the things that you like. He knows your dislikes, your struggles, your strengths, your weaknesses. But watch this. God knows also who he is. He knows his power, his strength, and his wisdom, and that's what his plans are based on. Him. And because he never fails, that means we have his power, and we don't have to fail when we follow him. We're not always going to make the right decision. And sometimes God will lead us to difficult situations that grow us. Amen? But by the Spirit of God, we have wisdom. Sometimes that's to avoid things, and sometimes that's to walk through situations. We have to remember that the Holy Spirit knows. He knows the future, he knows the present, he knows your situation, and he knows you. He is the Spirit of wisdom. The Holy Spirit leads, the Holy Spirit knows, and the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks. I believe the Holy Spirit led these men to give the gifts that they did for a reason. And let me tell you why. They gave gold, a kingly gift, but a gift that the family would need to live off of as they escaped to Egypt, something they did not know was going to happen. But the Spirit of God knew. They gave frankincense, a sweet perfume, often used in sacrifices, giving that to the sacrificial lamb of the world. The Spirit knew. They gave myrrh, a mixture of oil and things, a perfume used often in garments for burial wrappings, signifying the death that he would die. They did not know, but the Spirit of God knew. Did you know that he is working when you can't see it? Remember that. God is working when you cannot see it. And church, I'll be honest with you, I often can't see it. Does anyone else feel that way sometimes? We know it, we see God doing things, but I don't know what exactly he is doing. If you do, then I would love to talk with you more after church. But when he speaks, he's letting you in on a piece of the plan. It's like this. Picture this. When you're helping someone wrap a gift, and they ask you to come and stick your finger here. Okay? They did all the work. They even tied the bow. But you get credit for helping because you were obedient. You were not even really needed. They could have found someone else to do it, but they chose you. The Holy Spirit chooses you to be a part of what he is already doing. And you get to say yes. Yes. In Matthew 2, verses 19 through 23 says this. Now when Herod was dead, Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. If we take that portion and add verse 13 as well into it, we have the Lord telling Joseph to go to Egypt, and then telling him to go back to Israel. We have Joseph afraid, so the Lord tells him to go to Galilee, and he ends up in a city called Nazareth. Firstly, we can't limit God on what he might to do. What I mean by that is he told Joseph to go somewhere, and then he told Joseph to go back. Have you ever been there? Do this, now undo it. But the Holy Spirit had a reason. Holy Spirit had a purpose. And watch this. Don't get stuck on the last thing God told you to do. Don't get stuck on the last thing. The Holy Spirit will lead you when it does not make sense. He knows the backstory. You know that the Holy Spirit will protect you. Often it seems like such a bother or a hardship when we are following the Holy Spirit, but he's often keeping us from something much worse that we don't even know about. It says Joseph was afraid. God knows stepping out in obedience is scary for most of us. For most of us, it is. In fact, in this instance, God used Joseph's fear to direct him towards Galilee, the place he was supposed to be anyways. And he wound up in a city called Nazareth, which fulfills prophecies in Micah 5:2, Hosea 11:1, and Jeremiah 31:15. Church, God will work out of you what he needs to do in you and get you to the right place. This is almost unfathomable to me, how God works. In our free will, he still works everything out to accomplish his will. And God often uses us to fulfill the plans for those around us, to bring Jesus to the places you go. Which leads me to one final thought. The Holy Spirit is wisdom. And he speaks in three different ways. First off, he speaks through his word. The word of God is inspired. It is divine. We believe every part of it is true. Every single word of it is true. And nothing should ever contradict his word. What do we mean by that? That means, and we don't want to upset feelings here, but if you feel something or hear something that goes against the word of God is not wrong, you are wrong. And that is a lie, and you need to steer clear from it. It might be something that you feel, it might be something someone told you. If it does not line up with the word of God, it is not of God. Number two, he speaks through his voice. The Holy Spirit still speaks. He leads us. He gives wisdom, just like he has done throughout history, recorded throughout the Bible, recorded through church history. We're not adding things to the Bible, but the Holy Spirit still speaks and tells us to do things. He gives us peace. He gives us comfort. He does so many things. But this, too, always lines up with the Word of God. If it doesn't, then it is not the Holy Spirit. You need to test that voice. And number three, he speaks through, watch this, his people. And this is the hardest one. This is the most argued over one. But God still speaks through his people. We had three words this morning. Why do we do that? Well, because the Bible says to do that. It says that in Corinthians. But God still speaks through a word of knowledge, a prophetic word, a word of healing, in so many ways. And none of these should ever contradict the word of God. But it requires a step of faith. A step of faith. It is a gift from the Lord, should be treated with honor and reverence. And I want to encourage you this morning to step out when the Holy Spirit speaks. That doesn't have to be in a microphone. That starts by you saying yes. Yes to the Holy Spirit. Do you have a word for someone? Do you feel like maybe someone is going to get healed by you praying over them? Has the Lord laid someone on your heart that might need a word from the Lord, an encouragement, whatever it might be? We have to be willing to step out. We have to be the people of God because, watch this, no one else will be. No one else is going to do what you are called to do. We are the people of God, and we need to step out in what the Holy Spirit has for us to step into. Amen? And when we do that, I believe that the church will advance and our valley will be changed. As the worship and prayer teams come, I'm going to ask us if we are able to stand across this place. The altar call is very simple today. First, if you need salvation, you need to find Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come. If you need forgiveness of your sins or if you need to get right before the Lord, then I'm going to ask you to come and do that. It's the greatest thing you will ever do. If you need healing, if you need provision, if you need anything from the Lord, come. The Bible says to pray, to ask, and we would love to pray with you to do that. But two, if you are struggling to hear the voice of the Lord, if you need direction this morning, and you would like the Holy Spirit to speak to you, then come and pray. Come and ask. And then finally, if you want to be used in a greater way to step out in faith, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I would like for you to come. If any of those move on your heart, then come now. Come now as the music starts to play. And if you're in your seat, I'm going to ask you, as others are coming, to pray that the Holy Spirit leads you this week to invite someone to church. Maybe he's going to put it on your heart, your mind, right now even. Christmas is such a special opportunity. Christmas service, the Christmas Eve candlelight service. People that never come to church will come just because it's this time of year. So if you're not down at the front, then I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord, show me who will say yes. Show me, and then give me the boldness to ask the question. With that, let's pray and let's worship.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.